Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.
DJ Explosive. Your girlfriend's favorite.
Trinidad!
What up, what up, what up, y'all? This is Miss 5678, and you are tuning into the Dancers Report. I'm rocking with my brother, my ace, Boom Coom, the brother from the other mother, Jaja. Hey. And
what's up?
What's up, man? You sound like you sleep and wake it up.
A little bit.
Look, you ain't bungee jumping from nowhere right now?
Nah, I've been up since like 5 a.m.
Well, when you have small pickney, for those who don't know what that is, when you got small kids, you know, sometimes you be tired.
A little bit.
Listen, I can't even talk because my daughter's 12 and I still be tired, okay? And she don't even require much, like, at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going on? Like, how are you? How's it, you know?
I've been good, you know, still doing the same old, you know, working at T-Mobile,
as usual. Plug it. T-Mobile, I hope you're listening because you need him, he need to give him an endorsement. Before I get started, I do a daily mood check-in and just sort of to self-check and to set the tone for your day and sort of reflect how you've been going. And, the reason why I do the mood check-in is because a lot of the times, just like now, I'm just now catching up with you, and you know, I rarely get to see you. I rarely get to kick it with you. So, it's a way to just sort of check in with yourself and to check in with your peers and sort of friends and family and stuff. So the mood check-in looks like this: one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or happy, or indifferent. And then one thing that made you, you can just indicate where you are that day, what's going on thus far. I know we just kind of started our day. So it's kind of weird to be like, well, I just woke up, you know, but, sometimes, you know, your mood when you wake up. But one thing that made me happy today was that it is, Friday and it seems like it's been like a long week, already. And I'm looking forward to just relaxing this weekend, no teaching, just chill, you know. And plus, I don't have to teach on Monday, so it's Labor Day weekend. So I get to relax, mainly. Work a little bit, but relax. And clean up and organize. I wouldn't say anything that made me sad or mad or bothered or indifferent. I'm happy that I got to talk. I'm getting the chance to really finally talk to you and catch up with you. But I didn't lead with that. I led with joy, and that's it. I'm excited, you know, because we're launching another podcast that I'm working on, and I can't wait for it to get going. But other than that, you know, I get to talk and chill and dance and teach and be among amazing people. What was one thing that made you happy today and one thing that made you mad, sad, bothered, or indifferent?
Well, the one thing that made me happy, I finally decided to wake up early in the morning and start doing my Herschel Walker workout plan, because it's been a while and I feel the dad bar trying to kick in, and I'm not letting that happen.
Hey.
So I'm happy that I was able to wake up and start it. I'm sore right now. And then if you don't know what the Herschel Walker workout plan is when you get a deck of cards, you shuffle them up. And the red cards equal push-ups, the black card equals sit-ups. Whatever the number comes out, you do that. And then if it's face cards, you do 10. If you do aces, if you're a champ, you do 11. If you're a wimp, you do 1.
Wow.
So I did that today, so I was happy about it. I finished through the whole thing. One thing that made me mad, or makes me mad, I would say, the dad bar trying to kick in and annoying customers.
especially
when they call talking about, are you open? Come on, really?
I wouldn't answer the phone if I wasn't open. Hello.
Like, they act like I live there. Like, I'm not picking up the phone because we're closed.
Oh my god.
But
are y'all open? We're just closed for maintenance.
Huh?
No, I'm not open. I'm closed for maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just, you know what? I'm just happy to, you know, get asked to even do this. I'm happy to be able to judge and inspire, you know, young kids and teenagers, you know, in this dance community where, like, a lot of people have a lot of low self-esteem and don't feel like they can make it in this dance life. So.
Well, we're lucky because we get to have you, you know, in our dance community. You've been a staple in this community, and I wouldn't be able to sort of tell our story in terms of the dance scene without you. And there's so many more people like you that you know, contribute so much, and they get overlooked in a sense of, like, where we don't really, you know, some people still don't know about you, me, you know, and what we do and, like, where we are, and, like, so it's great for the listeners to finally get to catch up with Jaja. So, Jaja, who are you? So I know who you are, and I love you to death. And but, you know, who can you say that you are to the world? Like, so they know who you are.
Who am I? Well, I mean, a lot of people are knowing that I'm a crazy, wild man. I'm the type of person I like to scream. I like to get loud.
He likes to bungee jump too, y'all.
Training. I love pumping people. I love inspiring people. I like dancing, connecting with people through dance, whether we speak the same language or not. Everyone knows that when it comes to the dance scene, I'm only into house, but I do everything. I learn everything. I know how to do all the styles, but, like, house is my passion, my love, my church, my go-to, you know what I mean? And, like, I just love being around people that love what I do and want to learn and grow as a dancer. So that's what I'm about and who I am and where I'm at right now.
How did you become Jaja? How did you get that name?
How did I get Jaja?
Yeah, how'd you get that name?
Well, my dad's into African names, so my name means God's gift. So I think the reason or the story behind the reason why I got the name Jaja is because when, you know, at the time when I was being born, they couldn't feel my heartbeat when I was in my mom's stomach.
Wow.
And they thought I was dead.
Wow.
So, you know, back then, when they don't feel a heartbeat, they give a shot. One of those shots to, you know, try to help the blood flowing, the heartbeat, whatever. And my mom wouldn't let them do that. She was like, leave me alone. Get off me. Fighting the doctors. Like, he's alive. I know he's alive. And when they gave her the C-section, I was alive. So if they would have gave that shot, they would have killed me. So I was like a gift from God from them. So I think that's why I got the name that I got, because, like I said, my dad was into African names, because, you know, he did the military, came out of the military. He was part of a movement that was almost like the Black Panthers called the Mau Maus, which was out of Boston. So he was really into his African roots and all that stuff. So that's why he gave me the name Jaja. So
I didn't even know that. And I've known you for years. Damn, I didn't know that at all. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. What's been some of your influences, you know, within dance?
My influences, I would have to start with when I started, you know, when I was back when I was like 18, 19 years old. I'm 36 now. When I saw, you know, Funk Phenomenon and then getting the opportunity to join the group. And my mentor, you know, Rhea, definitely Ricardo, was a big influence on me as far as, like, a guy dancer. And
shout out to Rhea, and shout out Rhea Briggs, the owner of Funk Phenomenon, and Ricardo Foster, owner of United Styles Productions. He's been on the podcast. We're trying to get Rhea, though. We need her on here.
Definitely.
Those are my
big influences. But as a guy, like as a dancer, like my first influencer was definitely Ricardo, because, you know, he was a standard that I was trying to, you know, to get to as far as like being hype, being energetic, you know, 100 and not even 100, 200% all the time and going full out, because, you know, he always lets you stay humble all the time. Like, you didn't have a chance to be a big head when you work with Ricardo. You don't have a chance to have a big head, because when you have that chance and opportunity to be like, oh, we were dope, he'll let you know, like, no, you suck. you need to keep working. So, like, so he definitely pushed me, and then, like, and then it, you know, progressed on just watching this Brian Green, big out and shout out to Brian Green. He's the truth. If you don't know who he is,
yeah,
find out who he is, because he's the truth.
No, I had him on here for the live events. So if you guys didn't get a chance to listen to the live events, he was spitting nothing but gems the entire time that I was talking to him. He was digging in my behind because I was late to the festival, but, you know, in terms of what he lent, in terms of his wisdom, and this, he's just such a dope dude, yo. Like, I'm blessed to have been able to conversate with him. And up and coming, we got David Shallow coming up too, so that's his bestie. So, like, this has been such an incredible year. The fact that I even get to have you talk about your history and your influences, and that you're mentioning, like, heavy hitters, is incredible. And it's, you know, it's to be, for all you new dancers coming up, these are people you need to really, really try to go take class from, or sit with and talk to, and have them tell you stories about the dance scene, and just ask questions.
Don't forget Shallow and Tron, all of them, you know what I mean? I used to battle, like, Shallow in the clubs. We used to bug out in the clubs, so, like, big ups to them, too. Those are also big influences as well, like OGs, you know what I mean?
For sure. For sure, for sure, for sure. Now, I have a question. What is your dance background? Like, what's your bio and dance background? And culturally, what's your background? So that's three loaded questions. Cultural background, dance background, and a bio, meaning, like, some of the incredible places that you've been able to judge and dance and teach.
Gotcha. So technically, I've never really ever started off like that, you know, that kid that went to dance school and,
grew
up in that whole, like, dance life as a child, you know what I mean? It's pretty much just, you know, watching my sister do, like, talent shows, because back then talent shows was really big.
They sure was.
When I was young. So just watching her just do talent shows, and back then we had good videos where, you know, we were seeing dancers in the videos. You know what I mean? So, like,
are we talking about
was my classroom, like, in the room. I'm going to learn that dance. Go to school. I'm going to show that I learned that dance.
Yeah,
We
talking about pre-VHS, or are we talking about after VHS? Because I remember learning dances on my VHS and have to press record, pause, and then rewind that to learn it.
It was definitely during the VHS days, but, you know, I was trying to at least, I wasn't recording it, but I was trying to at least wait till the video came out and just constantly just watch the video and just pick up the moves, because, you know, the music used to come on frequently all the time, especially if you wake up in the morning, it was music videos all morning. So you had the opportunity to see the same videos a lot of the time. So I used to pick up from that. And, you know, watching Beat Streak and Break and all that stuff. So, like, you know, I grew up just learning from the TV and growing up from when I was seeing. And my mom used to force me to go into the carnivals when I was, like, 4 years old. So, you know, being half naked, 4 years old, shaking butt. So that was, like, literally the first move I learned how to, like, twerk, shake your butt, all that stuff. So
Where are you culturally from?
But, and then, you know, really, like, learn and, you know, get to grow as a dancer, you know, that's when I joined Funk at 19, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm going to learn everything. So I took every class I could because it was free since I was part of the company. So I took everything to the point where I was actually in their recital.
Wow.
A 19-year-old dude doing every freaking recital piece back then.
Where are you culturally from? Where's your family from?
Dorchester. I'm from Boston. Born and raised in Dorchester. You know, now I live in Everett.
Yeah, but where's your mom from where she was making you do carnival?
Boston too. I was doing all the Boston carnivals to a certain point, and I got tired of it. Where I just wanted to watch. But I did it to probably, like, you know, from 4 years old up until, You know, I was like maybe 10, 11.
That's crazy. Wait, like Caribbean Carnival?
Caribbean Carnival, yeah.
Where is she from?
My mom used to be in it heavily.
Where's your mother from?
Actually, huh?
Where's your mother from?
She's from here.
She's not from the Caribbean?
Mm-mm.
She's
from Boston.
She don't got Caribbean background at all?
She might, but I don't know that far back in her history, but my dad's from down south and my mom's from Boston.
That is so dope, yo. So you was learning how to wind your waist before you can learn how to bust a move.
Exactly.
That's crazy. I wouldn't have pegged you for the carnival, dude, but like that's dope. So wait. Yeah. So when you took dance, what did they offer at that during that time at were you at Funk Phenomenon?
Yeah, so I was at Funk. At the time I was trying to learn tap. It was hard as hell. still can't do it. but I took the class. I took breaking, learning from like, you know, Popsicle, big ups to Popsicle, big up to G.I. Joe, you know, learning from those dudes, to the point I was helping them, you know, assist of a couple of years in breaking. And then I took I was taking hip hop classes. So I was just involved in anything that I could at the time, you know, trying to take advantage. I was young. I didn't have much, you know, stuff to do. I wasn't like working like that. So I had all the free time to do it. So took advantage of it.
Basically introduced you to house?
So back then I used to like be into like the techno, so I was kind of like I was doing steps, but I didn't know nothing about the steps. And then back then we had trying to figure out the name. I don't remember the name, but I know Crazy Freddy, big up to Crazy Freddy. But back then they used to do events at I want to say South End at this brick building. It was something. You used to have spoken word, breaking events, all that stuff back in those days.
You talking about Valedictorian or the Villa?
Somewhere in the brick buildings back then they had.
Like, it's in the South End, right?
At the South End, yeah.
Yeah, that was the Valedictorian.
So I don't remember the name, but I used to see like Ray and Ricardo there, and you know what I mean. And then, you know, we got to chill and hang out, and we ended up going to some like house scene. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, I was, you know, picking up steps. And then I kind of like break from it. And then Boston Rocks opened up with Utopia. Mm. And then I went, and back in those days, Utopia was dope. It was literally every weekend. So I was going there faithfully every weekend. You know, and at that time I wasn't, you know, comfortable dancing the style. So literally for like almost a year, I sat and went and literally just watched. I watched the feeling. I watched the passion. I watched the emotion behind it. I watched people dancing, like really old school heads just dancing, like, you know, like Sammy, Float, some other people that was there all the time. So like I was just, you know, I was in love with it. Like it touched me. So like to the point, you know, when I got that confidence, I was like, I'm just gonna go in a circle. You know, and then, you know, when you seeing like, you know, Sammy and all them, you know, you were scared to go in a circle because
you talking about Sammy Vu?
Huh?
You talking about Sammy Vu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and you get scared because you're like, are they going to respect you being in this circle? Because, you know, it was a respect thing if you're going to jump in this circle, you know, because everyone knew each other and I didn't really know nobody. So when I got the confidence, you know, I started going in, doing stuff and learning more and really like get involved in the circle, and they accepted me. So
that's so dope.
Once I got that love, and really started like really get into it. And then when they brought, and then, you know, being part of Funk, they introduced Brian Green by bringing him out.
Wow.
So like Funk was definitely the first to bring Brian out to Boston. And he kept, you know, we kept bringing him out every now and then. So like I kept learning from him. And once he came into my life, that's just, it just changed everything.
Yeah, he's so dope with how he pours into his words. Like, he's a, if you guys get a chance, you need to sit with him and talk to him. Just talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get, you know, even Jaja can talk to you too, to encourage you, you know, where your next step may be. Like, this may be someone you need to talk to, you know. What is your favorite part about the business? Because it's a business. Do you like the touring? Do you like the gigs / shows? Do you like the rehearsals? Do you like the networking piece of it? Do you like the money? Do you like the auditions? The recite? Like, what do you like the most out of the business side of it?
The business side of it, I think I like the, I love performing. I love dancing. I love performing because I don't consider myself as a dancer. You know what I mean? I consider myself as a performer entertainer.
That's right.
Because I can perform and I can entertain you by myself. I don't need no one behind me. Where you know how to, like, you know, draw attention to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not lose the crowd type of thing. But I just love the performing aspect of it. I love the networking aspect of it. You know, networking with other people, you know, here in Boston or outside of Boston or in another country. You know, I like that part of it. You know, money's there. It's not a lot of money. I'm not rich, so I'm not like I'm making millions off of it. You know what I mean? So it's not paying my bills, but I don't do it for that. You know what I mean? Because it's you know, being in this business, sometimes it's more than just money. You know what I mean? Like, my riches sometimes is if a person comes up to me like, yo, you inspired me to, like, do this and, you know, get better. You know what I mean? That's more richer than getting millions. You know what I mean? Because I'm pushing the next generation to be better and, you know, and learn and grow as a dancer. So, like, you know, I had my time. I'm older now. I'm not looking at trying to go on tour. I heard too many, you know, stories about touring. It's great. It's cool.
I mean, it's not as bad as it's not as bad as it seems.
And I don't want to miss out in my kid's life. You know what I mean? He's mm-hmm. 2 years old. So I'm not going to go on tour for, like, months and months and months and miss out on everything in my life. And, you know what I mean? And still not be rich from it and not be able to pay my bills still.
Right. Because
if you tour, you got to keep touring.
Right. Well, I will say this. I mean,
you got to keep making that money, and I'm all about having a future for my family later on. Past when I leave, he has something invested in something, because that's like the next step. You know, invest in something, get homes, you know, 401ks, you know, retirement plan, like all that stuff is important, because a lot of that stuff you don't get. You know,
well, I'll say this, like, if you tour, I mean, you got to be in a good situation. You can't be just touring and you guys don't have the money solid. Like, I'm not leaving this state unless I know that I don't got a reason to leave this state for a good dollar and a good situation. Artists that I'm working with or the program or the project that I'm working on, it got to be a solid situation and it got to be purpose-led and purposeful. And my daughter has to be able to learn from afar what I'm doing and also up close. So if it ain't none of those things, I don't do it. You know exactly what I'm saying? So there's been certain tours that I went on and they were worth it because, you know, the artists got more experience. I got more experience. The dancers got more experience and the show got better. And it wasn't like a kill time where we were doing months and months at a time. We were doing spot dates. I like those. Mm. You know what I mean? Where, you know, you can come back home, regroup, and then head back out. You know what I'm saying? I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your specialty or your technique in dance?
Definitely house, 100%. But like, I try to, like, you know, learn whatever I can, whatever foundation I can, and then mm-hmm. apply it to myself and be different from anyone else. But, you know, you have to have a foundation first. You know, you just can't go what's the hottest move. You know, you have to know the feeling, you have to know the style, you have to know the emotion behind the style that you're learning. So I try to, like, at least learn all that and try to stay true to whatever style that I'm doing, but definitely my highest technique is house, hands down.
Well, I will say this, my Hat Shell performance with Devin Ferreira and the Boston Landmark Orchestra and Jacob Walsh, this recently, this month, the second section to that performance was dedicated to you, because I made the producer, which was Devin Ferreira, I like talked him into adding the drums in a house manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of you the whole entire time when you came to Mass Motion and you taught United Styles crew, a section of the house that we were going to be performing and competing with, or not even competing with, I think just performing with. And I just loved the way you gave us the information and the way you gave us the energy. And as soon as I heard the drums, and I said I wanted that, as soon as I heard that section without the drums, I was like, yo, if you can add drums, we can do house. And I told Kimmy and Juanita, I was like, I want to do the move that Jaja taught me for this section. And so I dedicated that section to you. I didn't tell you that, but I'm telling you that now. Sorry.
it's all good. That's dope,
You
though.
Were the first person I thought of, to do that section. And I won't forget it. Like, I don't know if it, when y'all listen, there's so many dancers that I don't forget. There's so many musicians and artists that I work with and creatives that I work with. I don't forget a face or a moment, a conversation, a routine. I mean, I might forget my routine firsthand, but then when it's time to get in it, I'll remember it. But like, I don't remember. I don't forget moments and people, you know what I'm saying, and places and things. So, y'all heard him. He's his technique is house. So if you get a chance to take his class, you'll be blessed. What's been some of your struggles? Has it been relationships, the artist, or events, gigs, tour, money? The location, being in the wrong location, like. Or being in the right location. What's been some of the struggles in your dance journey?
It's kind of tough, because everything that I said I wanted to do, I did it. Mm. You know what I mean? I think what a lot of struggles is just with people in dance is like they dream it and talk about it, but they don't do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's good to dream, it's good to think, but that's not going to get you nowhere unless you go and, like, you go after and actually do it, or speak up and network. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
You don't have to. You can make it anywhere in the United world. States. Doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
You don't have to be in LA. You don't have to be in New York. You don't have to be. You know what I mean? Like, you can make it anywhere. The problem is people don't know how to talk. They mm-hmm. don't want to network. You know what I mean? You don't want
to
put
right
out the
now,
work.
People don't feel like they need to. You know what I mean? Folks don't be feeling like they need to, which is crazy to me, because you do need to be able to be somewhat outgoing or at least network, savvy, because you're not going to be able to navigate or get on your path if you don't fall into the lane or path of others. Like, I'm thankful that I met Frenchie, because I would have never met you. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful because I met Frenchie, because on several reasons. I mean, I met Frenchie and she ended up being my daughter's godmother. I ended up being her daughter's godmother. Like, she ended up being my sister, someone that I go to, confide in, spiritually guided by. Just, the list goes on. It wasn't just about dance. So sometimes when you meet people, you think you're meeting them for one purpose, and then they serve so many other purposes to you, and vice versa. That's why mm-hmm. you do have to be able to network, because you never know who you're going to meet and why you meet them. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Shoot, Jaja gave me my first set of sidekicks. No.
Man,
why do I have this sidekick?
Blew up too, man. I was selling them all over.
Yo, did I send you the picture?
New York, Virginia, California, Miami. I'm only in Boston, and it only took one networking to do that.
That's right. Because everybody in Boston was like, yo, you got to go see Jaja for the sidekick, B. If you want a sidekick, you gotta go see Jaja.
The sidekick. That was a good year.
Yo, you got your sales. I remember you went away. That's how much sales you had. You went away. You went bungee jumping and I don't even know. You was falling from rocks. I don't know. And he was, you know, this dude.
Definitely not bungee jumping, but I was definitely skydiving.
Yeah, skydiving. That's what it was. So what? It's the same thing. He's crazy. He did the same thing. That's how you, isn't that how you met your wife? Skydiving? Crazy so. Is that how you met your wife, Jaja? On vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah, so I mean, it just you never know who you're gonna meet and how you're gonna meet them and why you meet them. But I didn't know Jaja was a dancer until like Frenchie told me, like, yeah, he's a dancer, he dances for funk. I'm like, what? And then I seen you dance and I was like, my jaw hit the floor, like, what? Like, literally, Jaja. Hey, my jaw hit the floor. Yo, he's off the hook. If you what made you get into judging?
So it's not a long story, but I try to make it as short as possible. But, so being with Funk, you know what I mean? We wanted a change and something different. So we seen this competition, Hip Hop International, and he was like, yo, let's try this. And it was all the way, in California. We wanted to get away from the scene, you know. At that time, you know, we was on the top of our game because we're the professional group that was here doing big things. So it was like, you know, let's just throw ourselves to the wolves and let's do this. And we had, it was like a couple of us that went, you know, me, Chris, DeNicola, Rhea, I want to say it was Yo-Yo was with us doing it, and Peanut, even Ann. Big ups to Ian, Lady Gaga's right here.
Oh, yeah, Ian McKenzie. What up? What up? I need him on here, man. Put a good word in. Jeez.
So, like, we decided to just, you know, throw ourselves to the wolves and go to Hip Hop International in, I want to say either 05 or 06. And, you know, we did it. We realized we was trash. we didn't make it all the way, but, you know, but it amped us up. So we kept going back every year because, you know, West Coast, East Coast didn't really have any love for each other. So, like, we trying to build that rapport, too, trying to get the love from both sides. So we pretty much, you know, we kept doing it. We kept progressing. And during those years, you know, MTV kept coming to that competition. And at the time of that happening, they were transitioning and making ABDC, wow. America's Best Dance Crew. And we, at that time, we said we wasn't ready to do it for the first season. Shit, so we want to keep building.
Y'all been ready.
And, huh?
Y'all been ready. Y'all stay ready.
At that time, we felt we wasn't ready for it. So we let it be. You know, mad seasons went by. We kept progressing into the competition to the point, you know, in 2010, we went out there and came second in the U.S. and fourth in the world.
That's crazy.
So they hit us up. It was like, yo, y'all want to do this? We was like, why not? Let's try this out. So we went to the auditions. We made it on. And then we ended up, you know, doing ABDC season 6. We came top 3 in that. And because ABDC and Hip Hop International was a connection, because the person that owns it was the co-producer of ABDC, I was like, you know what? I don't want to compete no more. I want to judge. So
I know that's right.
When I went back to Hip Hop International, we went out there to showcase. You know, I took the classes. I learned how to judge. I learned the whole ins and outs of Hip Hop International and how the judging worked. And I did that. The following year, I started flying out to one of the countries I networked with was Israel. So they decided to fly me out. That first time. So I went out to Israel, got to judge there. And then when I went back to Hip Hop International, I was like, I want to become an elite judge because they were trying to, like, you know, make judges more higher up. So I took the training in that, became an elite world judge. And then more countries started, you know, coming. I kept networking. And I got the opportunity to go to, like, places like Russia, Brazil, UK, Canada, Ireland, Colombia, and the list goes on. I got to go to at least 12 countries. And I'm still networking, trying to get into more, because they have over 50 countries that go to this competition. So I'm still networking to get into more places. So that's how I got into the whole judging game. And
that's crazy.
I've been blessed to keep doing it from 2011 until now. So
now tell me, what was your favorite place that you ever traveled to judging?
To this day, I still love going to Israel.
Now,
the reason
I got a question for you for that too.
Of it is just the people there are just so hungry, and they just want to grow. And like, and when you teach out there, the class is going to be filled. Everybody wants to learn.
You shout know, out to Israel.
Have over 100 people in your classes at these events.
Yo,
so that's probably one of the dopest places I've went because of the warmth of the people and the dancers there.
Now, not for nothing, like, shout out to Israel, because I do have Israel on my listening palette. Like, they are one of the you know, listening countries that tune in. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Israel, just like places you wouldn't think. You know, I mean, like Philippines, like shout out to my sister Bea, Bethelina, because Bethelina listens and she's all the way in the Philippines. She got all her friends listening. So she knows who y'all are before y'all know who she is. And when she comes to the States, the first place she's going to probably want to go is all the dance locations that we've listed on the podcast. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you was in Israel, did you go to the Mecca?
I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to touch the wall.
Was it okay? So it was Jerusalem?
Huh?
I was trying to think of where it was. It's not Mecca. It's Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, yeah, that's the, I want to say the capital.
Yeah,
the main area, the Holy Land.
How did you feel when you touched the wall?
I walked up to it, you know, just touched it regularly. You know what I mean? But I didn't write no notes, and you know, because I guess, you know, some people write notes, and there's some section where you can stick it inside the wall because it might be holes. I don't know why there are holes in it. Maybe because, you know, sometimes it'd be going to war, and maybe it could be bullet holes. I don't know. But
oh my god!
But you know, I got to touch it. You know, I got to walk down the street where I guess they dragged, or Jesus walked, or whatever. So like. It was, you definitely could feel the holiness of it, and it's very secure. Like, they got gates up, they got soldiers all over the place. So like, but it was dope to see it and got a chance to even have the time to even get there to do it. Cause you know, when you're out and go judging for a short amount of time, sometimes you don't have that time to like go out and really sightsee. So I'm glad that that first year I went, I got to see all that.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Like, that's one of the places I want to go. I know I'll probably weep like a big old baby, but, you know, whatever. So what? You know what I'm saying? Like, so what? I'm a crybaby. Whatever. What's up and coming for you right now?
Well, next on the list, I'm leaving next week to go to Italy to go judge a competition. One of the judges from Hip Hop International, she's throwing her own competition in Italy, so she asked me to come out and judge that. So I'll be out there for a couple of days, and then in October I go to Brazil and start judging the Hip Hop Internationals, because pretty much they start doing their competitions after the main one in August. So from September on until July, there's going to be all the countries doing their competitions, getting their top three people from their countries to come down to August to do the main competition. So
that's crazy.
I'm starting that up. So
now, what are you trying to do in terms of you? Are you expanding? Are you doing anything in terms of you and branding? Do you have any merchandise? Do you have any things for people to, you know, latch on to you?
Right now I don't got no merchandises. I'm working with someone, so maybe I might set up some stuff, but right now I don't have any merchandises. You know, everywhere I go, you know, I represent myself and I always represent funk. So that's my family, that's my home, those are my people. So I'm always gonna rep them no matter where I'm at. So you can always get merch from them, because that's always a link to me. So if you want to get merch, get some Funk Phenomenon merch. We're about to possibly might have an online store, so we'll see when that comes up and running. Well, I'm not sure yet, but it might be in the works. But I mean, I might not have no merch, but I'm always, my social media is always open for everyone to hit me up, talk, chat. You know what I mean? I'm not a diva. I'm not going to like see you like friend me and like not friend you back, or you send a message and I don't send a message back, because I know people do that. I talk to literally everybody. You send me a message, you're going to get a message right back.
Well,
immediately.
Literally, we need you. Like, I mean, I will say this. You know, there's not many people that have like a good heart at quality, you know, quality dance. Like, there's not many of us that do that. Like, the ones that we that do have that, I mean, I'm lucky to know them. I'm blessed to know them. But you're one of those guys who stay humble. And, you know, and don't ever be like, I'm better than anyone. Like, I love that attitude about you, because sometimes people will make it to an extent and then they won't, they feel like boxed in, and that they no longer can relate to, you know, their community or their scene or any of that stuff. So I'm glad that you've stayed well grounded. You know what I mean? As a father, as a husband, as a dancer, as a mentor, a teacher, our fellow you know, peer, like I appreciate that. A choreographer, like, you're all those things and more, and I just want to see you grow and continue to flourish. Are you doing what you love?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm on a high right now, because I'm you know, I'm still trying to stay relevant. I'm still doing what I get to do, which is travel and judge, and like I said, inspire. The only thing that's really on my bucket list is just getting to China and Japan or Korea and, you know, either judge or teach. That's the only thing that's on my bucket list. But other than that, I'm doing what I love to do. You know, every goal and dream that I dreamt of and I wanted to do, I went and I did it.
That's the thing I can't say I have
anything else as far as, you know, dreams and goals. You know what I mean? I went to school, not that I needed to go to school, because, you know, school's a waste of money, but I did it because it was a goal of mine to do it. So I did it, and I took that debt, paid off that debt, so I'm debt free from school. So I accomplished everything I wanted to do, and I just only have those three things on my bucket list. So once I get there, I'm like, everything is done.
See, and that's dope. You know, I mean, now, where can people find you if they want to stay connected to you?
I got two Facebooks. So if you see one of them's not fake. It's just that, you know, they don't allow you to have more than 5,000 friends.
Which not is bragging. Crazy.
But you can find me on Judge Funk, you know, JA Funk, PHUNK. You can find me on Instagram, Exclusive Dance, no E at the beginning. Of Exclusive. You can find me on Twitter, but like, I don't really do the Twitter thing, so don't hit me up on Twitter. Definitely hit me on Instagram or Facebook, and I will always apply to you. But I'm easy to find. I mean, I'm at T-Mobile, you know, at Al Wife,
go get him, go and get Al you a Wife phone.
Fine. So if you can't find me on Facebook, you can come to my store. I might sell you a phone.
Right, and don't go there empty-handed. Like, don't be coming. Come there to buy something, okay? Don't be just looking.
But if you're trying to come see me at the store next month, I won't be there much. But I will be in Springfield. I'll be on the weekends. I'll be in Springfield.
We're going to have to protect you up in Springfield.
At the Big E. Well, I'll be in a nice hotel. It's all good. Timo put me up. And I'll be at the Big E selling phones there. So if y'all want to come to, you know, one of the biggest fairs in the country.
Yes, I need to go. When is that?
I'll be dancing.
When is that?
And selling phones.
Dancing and selling phones. Ain't that such a combination? What month is that? I mean, what's the dates on that?
The 13th, I think it starts, and on. So every weekend from the 13th and on, I'll be out there.
Wow. All right. Because we've been trying to get up there for the last, like, 3 years, no, maybe four, 4 years. My daughter's like, Mommy, we need to go. I'm like, I know. It's dope.
They got some good food. You can get a kangaroo burger. Kangaroo burger's bomb.
Listen, I'm not eating kangaroo.
Don't be nervous. It's bomb. They got this python rabbit sausage. Don't ask me how they made it.
Don't want it.
But
Ill.
It's bomb. Try it. They got the little donut burger. Try it.
Ew. Oh my God.
It's bomb. They got the little Krispy Kreme donut, and you got the burger in the middle with some bacon. Yo, it's amazing.
So,
and a little corn on the cob, yes, lady.
I love that.
Bomb. And I don't even like corn on the cob, but her corn on the cob is bomb. Killing it. Just saying. Just saying.
Yo, listen, I'm not going to eat no kangaroo, python, or anything else otherwise that's an animal that I would not be eating. Ew.
It's good.
I mean,
it tastes like a sausage.
I will take your word for it, Jaja. I swear. I will, like, you what sausages? You say, turkey sausages. You sausages. Chicken turkey and sausage. Turkey sausage. I'm not eating anything else. Yuck.
It's amazing. I'm just saying.
What's your message you want to leave with everybody?
It's the same message I tell in, like, all my classes. Literally, like, you know, as a dancer, don't feel like you're not good enough and that you can't be where, you know, I'm at or anybody else that you praise and put on a pedestal is at. And I'm talking about the YouTube people that we praise and put on those pedestals and think they're gods. You know what I mean? Like, any one of us dancers can be where those people are. Just know that, you know, you're just as good as them. Just because you think they're dope, not all of them are dope. You know what I mean? They have the time to make up beautiful stuff to post online, but doesn't mean they're dope, because everyone can lose in a battle. And if I can find some dope people and they'll smoke half of the people that you praise, and those are the same people that feel like they're not good, but I know they're good, and I know they're better than those people, and they can be there, they can be judging, they can be having tons of followers and be a YouTube sensation just as well as the people that were putting on these pedestals. So, like, literally just don't feel like you're not worth it, and you're not good enough, because everyone's good enough, you know what I mean? And we have a lot of talent out here, and we need to, like, really, like, show what Boston has and the talent that we have out here. Because, like, a lot of people out here are selling themselves short, and they're really good. They're just not putting themselves out there and feel like they can't. So just speak up, network, and just get yourself out there. Because I'm telling y'all, the talent that's out here,
it's crazy.
Can make it out there.
Okay? I agree.
Real talk.
So, y'all heard it first, like, networking is a must. And even if you need help with that, maybe it's a simple conversation like, hey, how did you learn how to do that? That's networking. That opened the door for someone to speak to you and answer your question. Sometimes just introducing yourself. But you know what? Making sure, like what Jaja said, is making sure that you value, know your worth, and you know the value of yourself and the value and the quality that you bestow. And just being sure of yourself and saying, listen, I can be, you know, who I idolize or who I, you know, I think is wonderful. I can be the same as them. And keep yourself humble and grounded. You know what I mean? Like, I agree wholeheartedly and 100% with that. Jaja, you are so dope. I love you, man, and I can't wait to. I haven't been able to catch up with you in the snugga-dugga, aka the baby. I know it's a weird word, but whatever. I love the kids. And I can't wait to catch up with you and the baby and the wife and everybody, you know. Hopefully the next event coming up, I get to see you and kick it with you. But I appreciate you being and lending your time and your words of wisdom and your experience on the Dancers Report. And I look forward to, you know, checking and following you and seeing what you do next. And good luck to everybody that's he's getting ready to judge, because he ain't no joke. Good luck to anybody taking your class. They get the blessing to be in your class and learn from you. So I appreciate you. I thank you. And I love you. And I'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Cool. Thank you. Love you, too. Love everybody in Boston and around the world.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You got it. Thank you, Jaja.
Thank you.
You rock. You rock. Yo, legit. Like, this is, like, this is the reason why I do this, man, because, like,
your girlfriend's favorite DJ Explosive.
Miss 5678 Dances Report Podcast.